Okay. Thank you, Matt. Welcome. I'm glad we're all here, and we're all much better today than a few days ago. We're starting this new series, which will take us into April. Countercultural. There's a contrast between how we are, how other folks are. We're countercultural. What does that mean? And we're basing this series on the book of, in the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians, written by Paul to Corinth. Okay? Countercultural, this is message one. Our subtitle today is Become What You Are. That might sound like a contradiction. It's not. Become what you are. Okay? Usually we ask our readers, and we're going to ask a couple to come up, and they're going to introduce themselves and do the reading for us.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
My name is David. I know the last time I was here, more than 99% of the church did not know me, but I'm sure that must have improved by now. I've been here for the last 6 months, and this is my lovely wife, Lakshmi. She just recently joined me from India, so she was enjoying a good weather out there. It was 30 degrees centigrade, and now minus 30. So, yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in him in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so at the break, maybe you can introduce yourself to Lakshmi and David, if you've not met them. Okay, countercultural. Well, we're looking at the letter to the church in Corinth, New Testament letter. Let's just show a map. We've got a map. Corinth, we're going back to first century. Jesus died, was crucified about AD 30. 20 years later, roughly, Paul brought the gospel from Israel, that area, all the way over to what is today and what was then Greece. He stopped in Athens in Acts 18. He stopped in Athens. After Athens, he went down to the city of Corinth. Maybe not quite as famous as Athens, but a significant city. You can see there it's at that pinch point in the land that is joined together. It's at that narrowest point in the land, joining that bottom part to the top. It's strategic for that reason. Obviously, the road system, if you're traveling by land, you have to go up through there. Similarly, if you're traveling by sea, trade, it was dangerous to go down the sea journey down the bottom of Greece was more treacherous. People wanted to go through. If you went through that area and they hauled boats, ships, small ones, from the one side to the other over the land. So Corinth was also strategic in terms of shipping and trade. Okay, and it's a new city, growing city. We want to say in many ways it is actually similar to Toronto. If you take a high view, we can draw parallels. Okay, Paul went there in AD 50, around 50, 51, and preached the message of Jesus Christ and raised up a church of Christians, Christ followers in Corinth who belonged to Jesus Christ. Then he left them and went to other places. And now 3 or 4 years later, he's across the other side in Turkey, and he hears reports about verbal and written from Corinth that concern him about problems, difficulties, questions, issues in Corinth, and he writes this letter back to them. So this is a church that has existed for maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and Paul is writing and writes to them extensively, which we have in the New Testament. We just read the introduction. Paul was not being political, but he did find, in reality, many things to be thankful, many good things about the Christians and the church there. And we need to emphasize that. If you read on, you may think, the church in Corinth, if you read on, had many problems, many issues, many difficulties, as we'll see, begin to see today. However, Paul could look at that situation and see God's work in them individually and them collectively and see what good things they had in Christ. And that's a helpful point for us. Sometimes we look at people and we see their problems. We don't see, we have to look in a different way to see the value and things for which to thank God. Okay, let me just draw parallels between first century Corinth, 21st century Toronto. You know, Toronto is, quote, a global city, but it's not a top-tier city. We are not New York. We're not London, UK. We're not Paris. We're not Beijing. We're Toronto. However, Toronto is a global city, right? It is the largest city in Canada. Woo! And actually, we have other claims to fame. Corinth was at a crossroads, land and sea. The 401 highway, which is just a stone's throw away, that particular stretch through Toronto is the busiest, most densely trafficked highway in North America, and those who drive it every morning will agree. That's a claim to fame or infamy, right? Toronto has points to emphasize. Okay, let me give you a few. Corinth was strategic. Economically, so is Toronto. Toronto is the center of banking, finance, high tech, whatever, and other stuff in and employment. Toronto is, GTA, is the economic engine for this part of Canada and probably Canada as a whole. Corinth was the economic engine for that area, not Athens, that was full of philosophers. Corinth was the place where they got things done. Corinth was an international city. It had been refounded 100 years, and new people arrived there from all over, given the trade, commerce. It was a city of immigration, immigrants, traders, etc., and travelers, etc. Toronto, of course, we know is a city of immigrants. More than 50% of the city are immigrants. If you're new, welcome. Corinth was diverse, Roman, Greek, East, West, North, South, they're all there, and they brought their religions, their ethnicities, their cultures, their values, etc. They're all there. Toronto's the same. Corinth was an entrepreneurial city. People went there to advance themselves economically, in terms of wealth, income, etc., right? Toronto is a sporting city. We're the only city in Canada has a Major League Baseball team, etc. We have a basketball team, right? We have TFC. We have Maple Leafs, even though they haven't won the Stanley Cup forever. We got sporting. We hosted the Pan Am Games. We have not hosted the Olympics. We can't afford the bill. Actually, Greece at that time had the Olympics. Corinth did not have the Olympics. They had the second tier kind of games. Every 2 years, they had the Isthmian Games. It wasn't the Olympics. It was the next level down. Toronto doesn't have the Olympics. We had the Pan Am Games. See the parallel? Okay. Corinth was a place of high social mobility. People came there to advance, hopefully upward mobility. High social mobility, low moral values. low morality. The phrase among Greeks, Corinthian girl, meant prostitute. To behave like a Corinthian was to be morally base. It was a port city, which tends to go with low morality. High mobility, low moral values. Corinth was a city of where individualism triumphed. You went there and you tried to get ahead. You tried to use your connections, those you know, those who you could use to advance yourself. That's how Corinth worked. You got yourself connected with the right connections, the right place on the social ladder, you could progress. Individualism, advancement. That is one striking thing of Western society. I have a quote here. You know, we're not that conscious of our social values, of our culture, of the values embodied in it. You know, somebody said, you go to a fish, you talk about water. The fish says, what is water? Why? He's surrounded by it. He doesn't know anything else. We are surrounded by a society with values. We're in it. We're not necessarily conscious of it, but we're affected by its values. It is the waters we swim in. Okay, here's a quote from Jonathan Lehman. For the average person in Western culture, today, every attachment is negotiable. We are free agents, and every relationship can be renegotiated or canceled. Every relationship can be canceled, whether we're dealing with parents, spouse, right? Cancel the marriage, divorce, separation. The salesman, the boss, the ballot box, that means politics, the courtroom judge, or the local church. Every relationship can be renegotiated. Okay, what characterizes society today? I am principally obligated to myself. And I'm obligated to maximizing my life, my liberty, the pursuit of my happiness. I retain veto power over everything. Me, myself, individualism characterizes Western society, including our city here. Individualism, self-centeredness. Think about it, this quote, Invictus, which kind of, you know, is inspired by the ancient cultures. Invictus, the poem, says, I thank whatever gods there may be for my unconquerable soul. I thank the gods, whatever gods there may be, right, for my unconquerable soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That characterized the ancient world in Greece. That characterizes today's society. I'm the captain. Whatever gods is secondary, I'm captain of my soul. I decide for me. I make my choices the way I decide. I get to evaluate, good or evil, right or wrong. Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what to do. If I offend you, I forgive myself. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. I forgive myself. But anyway, that's another story. That characterizes our society today in large. Okay, and characterized Greek society. Now, the gospel came through Paul, the message of Jesus Christ, and brought changed people's lives, right? Because when you believe in Jesus Christ, there is God. The message starts with, there is God, there is a creator who created everything, and if ultimately we answer to him, and values are not decided by you, by society, they're not a social construct to control other people, because that's the view, right? If you don't have God, you have atheism, no God. Then you say, what explains life as we know it? What explains humanity? Answer, evolution. We are the product of our genes. We're the product of random mutations. And we do what our genes tell us to do, and we act them out. So if you're a criminal, that my genes made me do it. Right? If you're, you know, you have this kind of orientation, morally, sexually, it's my genes. Be who you are. because there's no value, there's no absolute if there's no God. You decide what to do and don't impose your values, morality on me. You're simply trying to control me and that's not going to work. So that's the society we live in today. If there's a God, there are values that are not a social construct. There are values dependent on who this God is and what he does. And that's revealed to us in the Bible and through the gospel. There is God, and ultimately we face him. Okay, Paul came to this city and proclaimed the gospel and brought about life-changing relationships between those people and Jesus Christ. They were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, secondly, Paul reminds them of who they are. He says, I thank my God upon my remembrance of you. Paul sees the church through God's eyes. What is the church? Let me just pick up a few points. Number one, he says, I'm writing to, this is what you are. Number one, I'm writing to you, you are the church of God in Corinth. Now, we may read over that fast and we read on. No, let's focus. Paul says, you, Corinthian Christians, followers of Jesus, you are the church of God in Corinth. You're the ecclesia that belongs to God. You are the people of God. And that phrase is picked up from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel, the nation, the Jewish people, were the people of God. God's community, God's congregation, the congregation of the Lord, they were the people set apart by God for God. Amen. In the Old Testament, there are only two groups of people. You're either in the nation or you're in the nations, plural. If you're in the nation, that's the nation of Israel. That's the people of God. That's the congregation of Yahweh, the people of the Lord, the nation of Israel. They were special and they knew it. They were different and they knew it. They were different and they're not ashamed because God, why are we different? Because God is our God and we live the way our God wants us to live and we live in a way to reflect him. If you're not with the people of God in the Old Testament, you're in the nations, and the nations serve their gods. They pick and choose their gods, and they reflect them. The Jewish people, God's people, are different. They know the true God, the Creator, and they live in relationship with him. And that role is to be a light. Isaiah says, God says, I have made you a light to the nations, to bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That's the commission of Israel in the New Testament. Paul quotes it in the New Testament, in Acts. He says, that commission, Israel's commission in the Old Testament, now Paul is saying, Corinthian Christians, you have the same role today. You are the ecclesia of the Lord. You're the congregation of God. You're the church of God. What does that mean? You are God's people. What Israel was in the Old Testament, you are today. You're God's people. You belong to God. You know the true God. And you're distinct. You're separate from them. So that, why? So you can be a light to the nations. If people want to see God, they should be able to come to you and see what kind of God we have. That's the church of God. Brothers and sisters, what are we? Amen. We're the church of God. We are the church of God. We have the same commission. We have the same role. When people come here, and it's something they did, right? Israel was the nation collectively to express God. Today, the church in every place is a congregation to express God, to be that light I've made you a light to the nations to bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. They should reflect God, express God. You know, in Corinth, there were many pagan temples to Aphrodite, to this God, to that God, God of love, God of hate, God of war, God of and the emperor. Throw it all in, mix it all up. Many gods, many temples. Paul tells the church a little bit later, you, Corinthian Christians, you are the temple.
Amen.
You collectively are the temple of God. God lives among you. God is there. You want to know the pagan gods? Go and see their idols. Where can people find the true God? Where can they meet him? It should be true that when the people come to the church, there they can see the true God. They see what he's like. He's righteous. So our dealings with each other should be righteous. He's faithful. The way we live should be faithful. God doesn't lie. God doesn't cheat. God doesn't steal. So that's why Paul has issues. In the church, there's stealing, there's swindling. People cheating each other. That's a problem. Why? Because God doesn't cheat, lie, steal. God is righteous. God is trustworthy. What the church is should reflect what God is. So he says, number one, you're the church of God. Number two, you're sanctified and you're called saints. Sanctified is to be separated the way Israel was separated, set apart, made distinct, different. Right? To be for God, that's sanctified, to be holy. God told Israel, be holy because I'm holy. You're going to be different because I'm different. You know, we're Canadians, most of us. What's the problem with Canadians? What's the problem with Canadians?
Too apologetic.
Thank you. Too apologetic. The problem with Canadians is we are nice. We are nice people, aren't we? David, aren't we nice?
Yeah, you are.
Lakshmi, Canadians are nice. Is that good? Yes. Is that bad? Yes. We're nice. We don't like to offend people, and we don't want to be different, and we don't want to cause issues. That's a problem. Because why? Brothers and sisters, if you are Christian, you will be different. If you're a Christian, you should be different. Why? You belong to God. You know the true God. Other people don't. You have Jesus as your Savior. They don't. You have a, right? You, the way you live should be affected by knowing God. They don't have that, right? You're sanctified. They're not. Paul says you're saints. You're saints. You're separated unto God, and there should be some difference between you and I. And there is, in God's eyes, we are separate. We are distinct from others. You're already sanctified. However, it needs to get worked out. Okay, let's just stick with those 2 points, what they are. Number one, you're the church of God. Number two, you're sanctified. Number three, there's grace to you. Number four, you've got many spiritual gifts. Let's leave those and go forward. Okay, that's what they are. You are God's people. You are God's family. You are sanctified, set apart to God. You do belong to him. You are for him. That's your what you are in your relationship with God, what God has made you. However, the question is how we live. Okay, here's the church. You read on this book. Let me just give you a heads up. The church in Corinth has a few issues. Just a few. Let me think about this list. I just pulled out some points through the whole book. Think about this church. If CIT was like this, described by all these things, do you want to join? If you met a church like this, would you go there? You want to be a member? Okay, let me give you a list. They have disagreements, divisions, and disunity. They have quarreling. They have factions. They have jealousy. They have strife. Sound good? They have judgmental attitudes. They have favoritism. They're arrogant, proud. They're tolerating incest. Somebody's living with his father's wife, second wife, right? And some people don't have a problem with it. They're boastful. They're litigious. Among them, they've taken each other to court, one suing the other about probably finance. They're in the court. There's fraud. There's swindling. Some are exercising their right to visit prostitutes. They're exercising their rights to eat idol sacrifices. They're eating the Lord's table. They're also eating from the table of demons. There's class consciousness. There's social segregation. There's the haves and have-nots. There's the elite, the non-elite. When they come together to share a meal, the haves get drunk and eat. The have-nots are hungry and go hungry. They're abusing spiritual gifts. They have disorderly worship. Their meetings are chaotic. When outsiders come to their meeting, they conclude, you people are crazy. And they depart. You want to join a church like this? Sisters' head covering is an issue. Some are denying the future bodily resurrection of believers. Think about it. And I could add more. If that is the church, do you want to join? Is that the kind of church you want to join? Suppose we put that up on our website. All these things. Do you think we'll get a lot of... Answer's no. What's the problem? The problem is they're living, yeah, there is what they are in Christ, what God has made them. They have their status in God, and that's real. However, they're not living according to it. They are living according to the values, attitudes, cultures, behaviors of the surrounding society. That's how they're living. They're living a different, according to their old life, old living, and not according to who they are in Christ. That's the problem. I had a quote. Let me read you a quote. This is from two people in a commentary, Chiampa and Rossner. I have it. Yeah. Okay. The problems Paul addresses reflect the infiltration. That means the sneaking in. The problems Paul addresses, and I mentioned there were a few of them. The problems Paul addresses reflect the infiltration of Corinthian social values into the church. Many of the Corinthians' faults can be traced to their uncritical acceptance of attitudes, values, behaviors of the society they lived in, in which they lived. The way the culture is around them, that is, they more or less live according to that and not according to who they are in Christ. There's no distinction, no difference between them and society. Then how can they be the light? How can they be a testimony of who God is if they're the same? Right? So Paul is writing to them, encourage them. What's the phrase? Become what you are. Become what you are. What does that mean? Think about it. He's writing to remind them. This is what God has done for you. This is what God has made you. You are his people. You belong to him. You are his congregation collectively. You're his temple. You're his church, right? And God has separated you, made you distinct. God's given you the Holy Spirit. That's why you got gifts. God's done all this for you and more. God has graced you. So that's what you are. Now live according to that. Live according to what God has made you, your new status in Christ, and not your old way of living. Become what you already are. He's not asking the impossible. He's not a matter of self-effort. You know, it's not simply make yourself what you ought to be. That's self-improvement. No, he's saying God has done these things for you and God has provided resources for you. God has worked on you. God has saved you, forgiven you, right? Later he says, yeah, you were these kind of awful people, but Now you're washed. Now you're sanctified. Now you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were like that before. That was before you were Christian. Now you're washed from the past. You're washed from sin. You're sanctified. You're separated. You're justified. You're approved by God in your standing. Now live according to that. Amen? We, brothers and sisters, we have the resources we need. Amen? You have the blood. You have the Spirit. You have the church. You have salvation. Amen? If you don't have it yet, talk to us afterwards. We'll help you. Right? We have these things. Now the issue is live according to become what God has already made you. Amen. Let me just conclude on this note that, you know, we may look at them and say, well, we're not that bad. They're terrible. We're pretty good. But let me ask you, are there some things among us, you know, maybe our attitudes, our thoughts, or maybe some things we say about one another, about people we criticize, right? Maybe we gossip about people. We have negative attitudes. Okay, brothers and sisters, this is the church of God. Our role here is to be a light to testify who God is, right? As we come together, as we interact together, let's recognize one another according to what God has made us already. Let's apply with the resources God has given us so that we can be that light. When people come here, they should be able to see in our life. And this is something, you know, that happens together. This is part of the gospel. Sometimes we say gospel, we think of the message, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Yes, that's the gospel. That gospel needs to be backed up by life. Okay, you say Jesus can save me. You say Jesus can save me, change me. Where do I see it? Where can I see it? I want to see people who are changed, people who are affected by Jesus Christ. I want to see people who are different. Brothers and sisters, if we're no different, then we're not backing up the gospel with our life, right? So let's seek the Lord, pray to the Lord. Lord, I want to become who I am, live according to who I am in the new creation, in salvation that God has provided for me. That's what I want to be. That's who I want to live by. Then people come together. When we come together, God will be expressed. Right? Then that's the contrast. Instead, Paul says later, instead of people coming and saying, you people are crazy, people should come and say, whoa, God is among you. God is among you. Why? I see how you live. I see how you speak to one another. I see how you interact with one another. I don't see selfishness. I don't see self-centeredness. I see something else that expresses God. God is among you. Then we're being that light. Amen? Are we the people of God?
Yes.
Yes. Let me try again. Are we the people of God?
Yes.
Are we the church of God?
Yes.
Are we going to be the light?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Okay. As we journey through Corinthians, let's endeavor to become what we are in Christ, in God. Okay. We're going to transition to the Lord. They had the Lord's table. Let's not, you know, Paul said, you people take the table of demons and the table of the Lord. Let's forget the table of demons. We're going to take the table of the Lord. Jesus said, do this to remember me. We're going to do it. I'd like to just take a minute to do the following. Later on in Corinthians, Paul says, when you come together to take the table, the bread, the wine, we're going to remember that Jesus gave himself, shed his blood for us on the cross so we could be saved, forgiven, sanctified, justified. Paul says, when you come together, examine yourself. Examine yourself. We're not here to examine others. We're here to examine ourselves. Let's just take a minute to consider, maybe is there anything I need to be forgiven, washed, cleansed by the Lord? let's contact the Lord, be right with the Lord. Then, he said, examine yourself and then eat and drink. Let's make sure we have the proper relationship with the Lord. Then we're going to take, then we'll take the table together. Let's take 1 minute. Okay, maybe you want to need to close your eyes or consider. Let's take 1 minute to do that, and then we'll take the table. I'll pray and we'll take the table. Lord, we thank you that you did shed your blood on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, to restore our relationship with God. Lord, thank you. You gave your body as that sacrifice. Lord, we thank you today for that redemption is accomplished, forgiveness is available, reconciliation is there with God. Thank you for those reconciled. We come now as those forgiven, cleansed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. We thank you. Lord, we come simply based on what you've done. It's not what we are, it's what you are. Not what we can do, it's what you have done. And we'll all remember what you have done. We acknowledge you as our Lord, as our Savior, as we take this cup and take this bread. In Jesus' name, amen.
and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high. Come on, stand. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in you. I believe you rose again. And I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Saints communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the
this morning. Lord, thank you for your word to us. Lord, just pray for each and every person, Lord, as we go into our weeks. Lord, just pray that we can continue to challenge ourselves, Lord, to think about how we can become what you've already called us to be. Amen. You guys can all take your seats. Thank you so much for coming this morning. You know, we're so glad that you're able to make it. If you're interested in learning more about God or about CIT, please see anyone after the service wearing a red Connect Team lanyard. We also have a Connect form that you can fill out on mycit.info, and we'd love to have someone connect with you during the week. We now have our CIT Cafe open, so I encourage you to stick around for some free coffee and snacks, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. And if you have kids, please pick them downstairs beforehand. Thank you so much for coming, and we look forward to seeing you again next Sunday. Thank you.